We're going to be in Mark chapter 16, and it's going to be verse 8-ish, and I'm going to explain why it's verse 8-ish in a minute, because actually this text that I want to preach from today is not technically given a numbered verse, but we're in between Mark chapter 16, 8 and Mark 16, 9. I'm going to explain why that is in just a moment. This is what the scripture says. You can follow along in YouVersion Bible app or in your Bible or on the screen. There it is. Look at that. 8-ish. It says, then they briefly reported all this to Peter and his companions. Afterward, Jesus himself sent them out from east to west with the sacred and unfailing message of salvation that gives eternal life. Let's pray. Help me thank you for eternal life this morning in Jesus. Amen. Let's pray this morning. Father, we love you. We thank you for your presence. Thank you for your moving here today in our midst, God, whether it's in this building or at home somewhere or around a campfire somewhere. It's wherever we are worshiping today, God, thank you that we are able to be together in the moment, God, or even later on, God, once this moment is done, God, we are together. Wherever our moment is that we're worshiping you, we thank you for your presence, your anointing to break every chain, to bring deliverance, to bring freedom, to bring encouragement, and to bring refreshment and renewal to our souls. And Lord, I pray today as we get into your word that that is exactly what we will experience through your presence and through your anointing in Jesus' name. In fact, why don't everybody put your hands on your belly somewhere? Repeat this after me. Say, Jesus, speak to me today. Open up my eyes. Open up my ears. Let me see what you want me to see. Let me hear what you want me to hear so I can do what you want me to do and be everything you've called me to be. In Jesus' name. Did you know that there are a lot of famous movies that the movies that we know and love have completely different endings? And today I want to talk about some alternate endings that you may or may not be aware of. For instance, do you know that there is a version of the original Rocky script written by Sylvester Stallone where the ending of that movie has Rocky taking money as a bribe to throw the fight against Apollo Creed and using that money to open up a pet store with Adrian? Can you imagine how different of a movie Rocky turns out to be if at the end Rocky is screaming, Adrian, we did it! And he's talking about selling a turtle to somebody instead of winning the championship belt against Apollo Creed. That becomes a very different movie, doesn't it? Another movie with a different ending that we're not familiar with often is the original Star Wars. Any Star Wars nerds here this morning? Any Star Wars? No, just me? Okay, that's fine. That's cool. I'll tell you anyway. Doesn't matter. The original Star Wars Return of the Jedi, episode 6, I guess that would be. Actually, the original script called for Han Solo, Harrison Ford's character, to die at the end during that movie. And the end scene, instead of being a party with a bunch of little teddy bears, was originally intended to be a funeral for Han Solo. The reason they changed the ending was because the George Lucas and the other filmmakers thought that they wouldn't sell many toys of Han Solo if they killed the character off during the movie, so they changed it and gave it a different ending, okay? That's another different movie. Here's another one for some of you ladies out there. Pretty Woman. Did you know the original movie with Julia Roberts and Richard Gere, Pretty Woman, the original script ending of that has their week together ending, Vivian, Julia Roberts' character, gets paid, takes the money, and just goes back to living on the street, the life of a prostitute. That's the original ending. No happy ending, no Richard Gere climbing up the fire escape to woo this late. No, it just ends with her saying, thank you very much, that was a wonderful week, and I'm going to go back to the life I was living. Again, a very different ending. Here's one that's probably the most shocking, maybe the most life-changing, because, I mean, I think 2 years ago, there was still another one of these movies that came out. It's probably time for this movie franchise to end. The original Rambo, another Sylvester Stallone movie, the original Rambo actually ended with Sylvester Stallone's character, John Rambo, and I don't mean to make light of this because it's serious, but the image of it, I don't mean to laugh, but anyway, I'll just tell you. The original ending of Rambo has Rambo going crazy on the town as he did, defeating the sheriff, and then committing suicide. That was how the original script was planned to end. Now, if Rambo commits suicide, Rambo 2 is going to look awful different, isn't it? You know what I mean? And Rambo 18 that just came out 2 years ago, whatever that number is now, doesn't exist. Just imagine how different of a movie that is. But thankfully, somebody thought, you know what? We need to write another ending. We need to give these movies and these great stories an alternate ending. And here's the deal. And now even movies that have endings, they're really not over now, are they? How many have sat through a movie theater in the last few years to see the end, see if there's any end credit scenes? Anybody do that? Just me. Okay, thank you, Joe, for being honest. Everybody else is lying. Why? Why do we do that? Because the Marvel Cinematic Universe, this is my weekly Marvel movie reference, Don Freeze, you're welcome. He said I make too many movies. He said, you talk about Marvel movies every week, and now I'm just determined I'm going to do it every week just to spite Don. So you can thank Don for that. I'm going to figure out a way to work it in. So anyway, so Marvel figured out, because I was thinking about this. I was actually thinking about, like, with Netflix, like, you know, there's some guy's job in the movie business or in TV shows, like, it's somebody's job to type all the credits. You know what I mean? Like, somebody has to sit there and put in all those names, key grips and lighting directors and this producer, and they've got to do that. But we're so used to, like, streaming and binging and Netflix. How many love, and when you pull up a show or you're watching something, they got that little skip intro button. How many hit that skip intro button when you're streaming something? You skip it, what happens? You skip all the credits. I thought about that the other day. I was like, man, somebody got paid and spent hours of their life to put together that title sequence and those beginning credits and end credits, and there I am just skipping right over. Like, your time and your life and your job doesn't matter at all. I'm skipping over everything, you know what I mean? But Marvel figured it out. They're like, you know what we're going to do? We're going to put some secret scenes in the credits to get people to stick around and watch the credits. So I find myself sitting in the movie theater long after the movie's over going, I wonder if this movie has a credit. I'm on Google going, does this movie have an end credit scene that I need to stick around for? And if it has one, I'm going to stick around for it. I'm there for it. I'm all in, baby. Why? So the guys, because I like to see those end credit scenes. We got alternate endings. We got end credit scenes. And I said all that to say this. When you read Mark chapter 16, if you read the fine print, even some of your translations might not even have the verse that I read in the actual text. It might be in a footnote or it might be somewhere else. And that's because Mark, the Gospel of Mark, in the end part of 16 is a little bit strange. It's a little bit different because it has... There are different versions of the Gospel of Mark that have different endings, some alternate endings, or you might want to think of them as either alternate endings or end credit scenes. And you might see a footnote at Mark chapter 16, verse 8 that says, most manuscripts or many manuscripts of the original letter of Mark end right here, and some of this was added or some of this doesn't. You might see some, that might be very confusing. And they, well, is this reliable? Is this really the Bible? Why doesn't it have it? Here's what happened. Most likely, one of two things happened that we're not sure of. This is just our best guess. Most likely, either the Gospel of Mark, listen to how it originally ends. The verse 8 is the oldest ending of the Gospel of Mark, and it says this. Now, let me set this up. The women, Jesus is resurrected. The women go to the tomb to prepare Jesus' body. They encounter an angel who tells them that Jesus isn't there anymore, and the angel says, go and tell Peter and the disciples that what you've seen. This is the ending. Tell me how this ending sounds. The women fled from the tomb, trembling and bewildered, and they said nothing to anyone because they were too frightened. That's the oldest ending that we have to the Gospel of Mark. That's a very different ending than any other Gospels, and I think, can we be honest, that ending is kind of lame. Can we be honest about that? That's a terrible ending to the Gospel story, and it doesn't last. You say, well, why is there these different endings? Here's probably what happened. Either A, Mark, for whatever reason, never finished writing his Gospel. He intended to finish it later. I don't know, he got busy, the dryer buzzed, he had to go get clothes out of the laundry. I'm not sure what happened. He got hungry, got a snack, and just never got back to it. To be honest, that might match Mark's personality, because we know from Acts chapter 15 that Mark originally started out in missionary work with Paul and left the journey early, and Paul was so offended by Mark's not finishing the job that he said, I'm not taking Mark with me anymore, and it caused a big fight between Peter or Paul and Barnabas, and then later Mark connects with Peter, and that's where Mark draws his Gospel from. Or, so either A, Mark didn't finish it, or B, Mark finished it, and for whatever reason, as Mark's gospel and the manuscript and the transcript was passed around from church to church and person to person, somewhere along the way, the last part of Mark's gospel got torn up, got destroyed, got lost. And so the reason we have these different endings is that some, as later writers were going to translate Mark's gospel and recopy Mark's gospel, they realized that the ending was gone, and so they either made up an ending based on other source material from other gospels, or based on what they had originally remembered on their best memory Mark had said, or they just added this shorter ending that I read just to give it a nice little bookmark. Here's the deal, and this is I should also say this. Here's what you understand. Listen. So you say, well, do we even need to listen to the last few verses of Mark? Does it even matter? Is it actually scripture? Listen to me close. Just because Mark wasn't the original author doesn't mean that it's any less inspired by God for us to look at. Amen, somebody? Just because Mark's hand didn't physically pen those original words, and those might not have been his exact original words, doesn't mean that God doesn't want to speak to us through some of the alternate endings that have been carried down through the generations that we can look at today. It doesn't mean that we can't get something. And here is what I believe God wants to speak to us today through that, and it's this. Listen to me close. It's this, that Jesus and the gospel allows for you and I to receive an alternate ending to our story. And I don't know about you, but I am thankful that because of Jesus, my life has a different ending than the one it was originally supposed to have. Come on, somebody. I'm glad that my life has an alternate ending. I am so thankful that because of the gospel and because of Jesus, I have an alternate ending. The original, what we know of the original earliest thing of Mark is that the disciples and the ladies who were at the tomb, they never actually saw the resurrected Jesus. And they gave us, and later on they said, we gotta tell the rest of the story. What happens after you actually encounter and see the resurrected Jesus? And here's what the change is. Here's the difference. The original ending that we know of, the oldest ending that we know of, ends with fear and silence. But when you see the resurrected Jesus, listen, Jesus resurrected provides an alternate ending full of life and victory rather than fear and silence. Amen, somebody. Jesus, when you know and understand and come into a relationship with Jesus and encounter a resurrected Savior, you get a different ending, one that doesn't end with you being fearful and worried and confused and silent. And you get an ending through the resurrected Jesus that gives you victory, that gives you a shout, that gives you something to praise God about. Come on, somebody. Jesus gives you an alternate ending. And there's two reasons why. Jesus. When I say Jesus in the gospel, I'm using those terms interchangeably today. Amen, somebody? The gospel simply represents everything that Jesus taught, everything that Jesus' life and sacrifice on the cross and resurrection from the dead, everything that bought and purchased for you and I spiritually in heaven, promised through the word of God, that is the gospel. Amen, somebody? Okay? So Jesus, listen, two reasons why in that text, why Jesus and how Jesus gives us an alternate ending, and this is the first one. It's because the gospel, Jesus, is sacred. Everyone say sacred. It says they sent him out east to west with the sacred message of salvation, the sacred message of Jesus, the sacred gospel of Jesus Christ. What does sacred mean? Sacred simply means set apart. Sacred means holy. Sacred means the opposite of secular. It means designated for holy, righteous, and godly use. That is sacred. Amen, somebody? Listen. Paul, when he's later writing in the New Testament, he calls the preaching of the gospel his sacred trust. What it basically means is this, is that there is nothing in heaven or on earth that in any way is like Jesus and like the gospel. There is nothing at all like the gospel. It is completely sacred. It is completely set apart. It is completely on its own. Nothing can come close to it. And listen to me, church. We cannot forget that there is a sacredness and a mystery to the salvation that we experience and know in Jesus Christ. Amen? Listen, don't miss this. Jesus and the gospel absolutely affects your everyday life. The boring, the ordinary, the mundane, the things that are just kind of run of the mill, every day, Tuesday at 12:45 type things, the gospel applies to that too. Jesus is involved in that too. The Bible says that God knows the very hairs of your head, how many there are on them. He has them numbered. He knows each and everything about every detail of our lives. But don't forget that while he is involved in the ordinary and the mundane and the regular and the everyday, don't forget that it is also a sacred mystery from another world that we are connected to through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And listen, if you want to connect to something beyond this earth, if you want to connect to something beyond what you can smell, see, touch, and feel, listen to me, friend. You do not have to go to a psychic. You do not have to go searching for some otherworldly experience. Listen, we can experience otherworldly atmosphere. We can experience and touch a different world than the one that we can touch here on this earth. And it's all through Jesus. That desire that each and every one of us have. Hey, listen, there is a desire inside each and every one of us to wonder, to look up at the stars, to look up beyond what we can see and what we can touch and what we can figure out and wonder what else is out there. Is there anything bigger out there? And some people will go and spend their life searching through science and searching the stars to find that. Some people will dive deep into inspirational wisdom and mysticism and all these other things to try to connect with something beyond what you can feel. And listen, all along, the ability and the place to connect with something beyond what you can figure out and touch on this earth is in the sacred mystery of Jesus and the gospel. Amen, somebody. Listen, I'm not against science. I believe I'm not against any of those things. What I'm saying is, listen, if you want to connect to something beyond what you can grab right here, all you need to do is grab your word of God, get a hold of Jesus, connect to the sacred mystery of the gospel. And through that, you are connecting with something beyond what you can connect with physically here on this earth. Amen, somebody. The church family, we can never forget. When we come together and worship here on Sunday morning, when you open up your Bible tomorrow morning or whenever you have your quiet time, whenever you are listening to worship music, whenever you are praying, listen to me. Remember, you are connecting to something sacred, someone beyond this world. Amen? And it's available through the gospel because it's sacred. Not only is Jesus, not only is the gospel a sacred connection and a sacred mystery to something beyond what my five senses can connect to and figure out, but listen to me, the gospel also makes you and I sacred. Jesus makes you sacred. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, the Apostle Paul would later write, he would say that you and I have become, we have become, because of Jesus, we have become the righteousness of God in Christ. You know what that means? Listen to me, friend. Don't miss this. That means this, that a sacred Savior makes sinners sacred. Let me say that one more time. A sacred Savior makes sinners sacred. That means that no matter what your past looks like, that means that no matter what you've been through, that means that no matter what garbage you might be carrying on your shoulders this morning, that means no matter what kind of mistakes you may have made in the past, that means, listen to me, if you're watching online, that means it doesn't matter where you're watching this from. You could be watching this from the absolute depths of hell in your own life. Listen to me. It doesn't matter. When you connect with the sacred Savior, that sacred Savior makes sinners sacred. He is not calling you a sinner. He is not calling you some scoundrel. He's not calling you any of those things that we call ourselves. He is not identifying you by your past or by your mistakes or by your issues or by your hang-ups or by any of those things. He is identifying you as the righteousness of God in Christ. Jesus has said, yes, you were a sinner. Yes, you have committed sin. Yes, you've got issues. But this sacred Savior is making sinners sacred. That means that right now you are sacred if you've accepted Jesus. If you're a son or daughter of God, you are set apart for a holy, righteous purpose. You are set apart to do the works of God. You are set apart to build the kingdom. You are set apart to know Jesus. You are set apart to do holy, great, mighty, and powerful things in the name of Jesus. You and me, sons and daughters of God. No, not me, preacher. No, not me. I got too many issues. I got too many questions. I got too many doubts. I got too many worries. I got too many fears. I got too many this. I got too many that. Listen, we could all sit here and talk about all the excuses, all the reasons, and all the too many's of this and that we all have. And none of them will change the truth of the Word of God that says that we have been made the righteousness of God in Christ. And that says that because of that sacred message and the sacred Savior that we have been given an alternate ending. Amen, somebody? The second reason, that the second thing that allows us to have an alternate ending, a rewrite to our story if need be, is this. Listen to me close. Don't miss this. It says that he sent them east to west with the sacred message, and it was an unfailing message. Everyone say unfailing. Now that word unfailing, we probably can figure out what that means. We know that. It simply means everlasting. It means inexhaustible. It means that it can't die. It means that it can't quit. It means that it can't lose. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 17, says that unfailing love and unfailing faithfulness come through Jesus Christ. You and I, not only are we connected to a sacred Savior, but we are connected to an unfailing Savior. Not only is the message of the gospel sacred and holy and otherworldly, and not only does it set us apart, but it never fails. It never loses. It never gives up. It never quits. It never dies. It never gets tired. It never, ever, ever fails. Jesus never fails. Now here's what that means. Let me just give you the most amazing thing I think that we can take from that is this. That means this. That if I am in a season or in a moment of failure, it cannot be the end. If you have failed today, if you have failed this week, if you feel like a failure, if you feel like a screw up, if you have said, Lord, I'm sorry, I'll never do that again for the 100th time, and the very next day you went right back to it and failed again, guess what? Since the gospel doesn't fail, can't fail, that means that it is not the end for you. Amen? No matter how you feel, no matter how big your screw up, no matter how big your failure, no matter how monumental and insurmountable the odds may seem, if you are failing right now, it's not the end. There is an alternate ending being written for you and for me right now. Listen, since the gospel is unfailing, my failure can't be my ending. If the gospel, and since Jesus is unfailing, my failure cannot be my ending. Why? Because the Word of God declares that the gospel is unfailing. Throughout Mark, throughout other Gospels, I believe John said the same thing. The angel and Jesus told the women, said, go tell Peter and the rest of the disciples. You know why he had to mention Peter specifically? Because just a few days earlier, Peter had failed colossally. Y'all remember the story? Jesus said, Peter, before the rooster crows today, tomorrow morning, you're going to deny me three times. Peter says, no, Lord, I'll never deny you. Jesus, Peter, you're going to deny me three times. Jesus gets arrested. Peter follows Jesus into the courtyard. Someone sees him. Hey, you were one of those guys, aren't you? No, I don't know the guy. No, you were one of them. I seen you, man. I can hear it in your voice. You're a Galilean. No, I told you, man, I don't know the guy. Third time, I'm pretty sure I saw you. The Bible says Peter cusses the guy out in the Gospel of Luke. Says, I don't know the guy. Rooster crows. Peter weeps, runs away, remembering the words of Jesus. And in that moment, Peter thought, it was over. I failed. I'm a failure, and that's how my story is going to end. But once Jesus was resurrected, he said, hey, make sure you tell Peter there's a different ending to this story. Come on, somebody. Make sure you tell Peter. I know that he thinks it's over. I know he thinks this is how his story's going to end. But somebody needs to go tell Peter there's an alternate ending that I'm writing. And if he'll get back up and receive this, listen, he'll experience an alternate ending. And that wasn't the end of Peter's story. Why? Because the gospel doesn't fail. Jesus doesn't fail. If I'm in a season of failure, it can't be my ending. Jesus gave Peter an alternate ending that instead of Peter failing and denying Jesus, just a few weeks later, has Peter standing up, delivering the first sermon to thousands of people. And in one message in Acts chapter 2, once the Holy Spirit fills Peter's life, the Bible says 3,000 were added to the church in one sermon, one altar call. And then the church is born and Peter leads. And you can trace that all the way down to right here, 2021, Brookville, Indiana, across the ocean. And centuries later, here we are still preaching the gospel, still knowing Jesus, still receiving the same sacred and unfailing message that told Peter it wasn't over is the same message telling you and I, it's not over with your failure because the gospel is unfailing. So if you are failing, it's not your ending. Amen, somebody. Amen. Since the gospel's unfailing, my failure can't be my ending. Send them out from east to west with the sacred and unfailing message of salvation that gives eternal life. That gives eternal life. The original ending ends with fear and confusion. It's such a weird ending. In verse 8. I don't know where Mark was going. I would love to maybe ask Mark in heaven one day, what happened there? Did you just fall asleep? What's going on? How is that going to end? Because verse 7, the angel's like, I want you to go tell Peter and the disciples what you've seen here. Tell them the tomb's empty. And it says the women are like, no, we're not going to do that. This is too weird. We're going to be silent. We're going to be worried. We're going to be fearful. This doesn't make any sense. Jesus takes an ending that ends with fear and silence, and he wants to rewrite and give an alternate ending that ends with, instead of fear and silence, listen, it ends with life. It ends with life. I don't know about you. I don't know about you at home. But I'm so thankful that Jesus decided, Justin, your story's not going to end in silence and in fear. I'm going to rewrite you a story that ends with life. Anybody in here this morning thankful that Jesus gave you an alternate ending that has life at the end instead of death, that has life at the end instead of silence, that has life at the end instead of worry and fear, that has life at the end instead of death and sin? And that's the type of alternate ending that Jesus has for you and for me. Stand with me all over this place this morning. In fact, I'm just going to ask you right now to close your eyes. If you're watching at home, I invite you to do that with us as well. I know it might feel weird, but just as a way to focus, block out distractions. Just take a moment to let the Holy Spirit speak to you personally. Because that's exactly what He wants to do right now in this moment. If you're in this place this morning, you do not know Jesus. Or if you're watching somewhere at home or in a car or on a work break or wherever you might find yourself. And if you do not know Jesus this morning, you have not experienced, man, that you feel like you think the ending's already there. This is where you're going, the path you're going down. Listen, I want you to know Jesus has an alternate ending for you today. Jesus wants to rewrite your story. And I have no idea what the journey will look like to get there. I can't tell you the ups and the downs and the battles and the struggles and the this and the that's, but I can tell you, I do know the ending He's rewriting for you and that He has for you, and it's one full of eternal life in heaven with Him. And you can experience that. You can know that. You can receive that alternate ending today. Without Jesus, the ending that is going to be written on the end of every single one of our life stories is going to be death, the grave, and apart from Jesus, hell. But with Jesus, because of the sacrifice He made on the cross 2,000 years ago, we can receive an alternate ending that ends with the passing of this life on earth into a life in heaven. And that's available through Jesus Christ, and only through Jesus Christ. You can't get there through Buddha. You can't get there through Allah. You cannot receive that through just earthly wisdom. You cannot receive that by just trying really hard to be a good guy. You cannot even receive it by trying to follow the Ten Commandments and do things that seem right. Or even in the Bible says, that same Bible that you want to try to follow and make you a good person, that Bible says the only way to salvation, the only way is through Jesus Christ. So right now in this moment, with just every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm going to pray. We're going to pray together at the end of this, man, because I believe the Lord is reminding some people right now that you might have felt like you're failing, but God is reminding you and encouraging you that there's an alternate ending. We're going to pray for that. But right now, man, if you're in this place, or you're online, and you do not know Jesus, you do not have a relationship with Jesus, you have not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have not accepted the sacrifice He made for you on the cross, maybe one time you did. Maybe you prayed a prayer a long time ago. Maybe you even baptized, did all the stuff. But man, you have went away. You've done your own thing. You've walked away from that. Today you can return. So either for the first time or for the 100th time, I don't care. If you are away from Jesus and do not know Him and are not following Him today, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you down front. But I am going to ask you in just a moment to raise your hand. To raise your hand as a public acknowledgement to say, yes, man. Yes, I want to make that decision today. Yes, I want to receive Jesus today. In fact, why don't we just do that right now? If that's where you are, the Holy Spirit's talking to you. This is my moment. This is my day. I need to make that decision today, right now. Will you just raise your hand? Will you raise your hand all over this room? We'll give you that moment. Amen. Watching online, drop it in the comments. Say, yes, I'm praying that prayer. Yes, yes, today's my day. Yes, whatever you want to say, just to say yes. I'm saying yes to Jesus today. Let us know. In just a moment, we're going to pray. If you're in the building praying that for the first time or the 100th time or online, right when we're done praying, I want you to go to redlifechurch.com. Right in the middle of the page says, are you saying yes to Jesus? Follow those instructions. There's even a video that can help you explain that in even greater detail than we are right now. I want you to use that resource. Let us connect you and get with you on the journey to help you make this thing right. Let's pray all over this room. I want everyone to pray this out loud with me. Repeat after me so that you can hear with your own ears. Say, Jesus, I come to you right now, just like I am, a sinner who has sinned. But I believe that you are the Son of God, that you died on the cross, that you rose from the dead, and that you did it all just for me. And I ask you right now to forgive me of my sin. Come and live on the inside of me. Make me a new creature. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for receiving me. My life belongs to you. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for making that real right now. Do what your word said you would do, Lord, which is to bear witness with our spirit that we are becoming children of God. Lord, I ask you to do that right now. Let us hear the sweet voice of the Father. Call us son and daughter, some for the very first time, some for a reminder right now who prayed that prayer returning to you in Jesus' name. We thank you. Receive that today. Now, Heavenly Father, right, I want everyone, if you can, just to raise your hands. I want you to receive this, right? I'm going to pray over us right now. These altars are going to be open for prayer, for worship, for just a few moments as we are dismissed this morning. But I want to pray right now. Here's what we're going to pray. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the alternate ending that you have written for each and every one of our lives. I thank you, Lord, that our life does not end in failure. Thank you that because of you, Jesus, our failure is not our ending. Lord, and I thank you, God, for every alternate ending that you have written for me so far. And I thank you for every alternate ending that you are continuing to write for our story as we live to give you glory, Lord, in Jesus' name. I pray for that one right now that the enemy is lying to and saying that the failure is over, the failure is the ending. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus, and I declare the truth of the gospel over that person right now that declares that the gospel is unfailing. So Jesus, because your gospel and because you are unfailing, my failing cannot be my ending in Jesus' name. I speak encouragement over that situation right now in the name of Jesus. Receive this right now from the Lord. These altars are open. If you need a place to pray, need a place to worship, please don't leave without having your business done with God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you. And the Lord give you peace in Jesus' precious name.
Lost another one.